Utah Youth and BYU Football Podcast. We're two brothers, one a true blue BYU Cougars fan, the other a diehard Utah Utes fan, battle it out about BYU Cougars and Utah Utes football. I'm your host, C Double. I'm not one of the brothers, so let me introduce you to our battling brothers. Our BYU fanboy is TC. TC, what's up? Are you there?
Yo, 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 I'm here.
All right, and our Utes diehard is K-Ray. K-Ray, how you feeling?
Yo, game pretty fuss, and I love you like a brother. Love you like a brother.
I'm the honorary brother of this podcast here. Okay, I'm the brother that was locked in the basement all these years, finally let out. Okay, so BYU had a bye week, but let's get your thoughts from TC. Does BYU come out firing on all cylinders after that big win over Hawaii, or do they come back sputtering?
I think they come out firing. I think they've had an extra week now for Wilson to learn the offense, to gel with the receivers. Still kind of a mystery on what's up with Squally Canada. He's had this lingering, I think it's an ankle injury, so that's kind of a question mark. But Katoa seems to have picked up the slack, and Riley Burt, who I said in the very first podcast, who was kind of a sleeper pick, actually showed a lot of potential last game versus Hawaii. So I hope they keep using him. So I think they come out firing. I'm a little concerned about the defense. Our linebacker core seems to be somewhat depleted, but we can get to that a little bit more when we kind of get into the projections towards the end. But hopefully they come out firing. Northern Illinois, their defense, as we saw against Utah, they can be pretty stingy. So especially, I think, against the run. So we're going to have to get some chemistry going with Wilson, the receivers, or at least keep up the chemistry that was there during the Hawaii game.
Okay. Now, quick question for you. I spent the weekend with our good buddy, Jerem Jordan from BYU Sports Nation, who is actually our, what is he, our second cousin once removed or something like that? Anyways, so he was telling me, he was giving me some thoughts, and he said that he was talking with Greg Wrubell, and Greg Wrubell said that he hinted that the coaching staff at BYU had actually planned out keeping Wilson, you know, starting him later in the season, because the first half of the season they just needed a quarterback to manage the game, not turn the ball over, and for the most part Tanner Mangum did that. Do you buy into that? He basically said your starting quarterback in September is not the same as what your starting quarterback should be in November. What's your thoughts on that?
I think that's guys with way too much time on their hands thinking way too hard about a game that is actually pretty simple when you boil down to it. So, I mean, if that's the case, I guess I can kind of understand it. Maybe they didn't want to if they thought Wilson is the future of BYU and it kind of looks like he is for the next 3.5 years, I could kind of see the argument of not wanting to throw him out to the wolves, so to speak, against Wisconsin and Washington. But I mean, Arizona's defense is one of the weakest in the country. It was last year. There was no indication better. Cal's defense was not great. McNeese State, I don't know. I mean, Tanner didn't do a whole lot against Wisconsin. 89 yards, he handed the ball off quite a bit. He didn't have any turnovers, so maybe that was kind of what they were gunning for, which was, hey, let's get our senior in there and not make the drastic mistakes and give ourselves a chance to win. And then when the easier part of the schedule rolls around, we kind of throw in the future. I can see the argument, I can see the logic behind it, but you know, it's not the way I would have done it, but then again, I'm not getting paid to be the head coach, so it's possible.
Yeah. All right. K-Ray, now we have something to talk about. So Utes are ranked for the first time this season with that huge, huge win over USC. give us your thoughts on the win and some key takeaways from the game.
Well, great game. Our offense continues to click like it did against Stanford and Arizona. Tyler Huntley, as you all know, I was a bit of a pessimist about Tyler early in the season, but he was great this last game. 341 yards through the air, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. Zach Moss, another big game, 136 yards. We were clicking, and as good as our offense was, our defense was even better. My goodness, this is USC we're talking about, and our defense was incredible. I mean, we spotted them a couple of touchdowns. We were down 14-0, and we outscored them 41-14 the rest of the game. I mean, at one point, we had outscored them 34-0 after they were up 14-0. And we took out 2 of their quarterbacks. Unfortunately, I mean, I don't want to see anybody get hurt, but their starting quarterback, JT Daniels, he went out with a concussion. And then Matt Fink, he finished the game with, I think, 3 broken ribs after crazy, crazy big hit by Max Dupuy. I don't want them to get hurt. You don't want to see any of these kids get hurt. They're out there playing for their school. But that's not what I'm celebrating. What I'm celebrating is our defense that just played really well and really stopped the run. And, I mean, JT Daniels, if you think about it, you kind of see this coming. This guy should be a senior in high school, and he's never faced a defense like Utah's defense. Someone should have seen this coming for him and done something to protect him a little more. He was 6 of 16 for 89 yards with 2 interceptions. Poor guy. I feel bad for him. And you could see him on the sideline. He looked stunned towards the end of the game when they had to take him out because the concussion protocol, which you never like to see. Great game. Great game all around for Utah.
Okay, so TC, what do you say about the Utes win? You gotta love that, right?
What do I say? Well, man, you always thought Kyle Whittingham had a little bit of BYU in him. He went there, he won a national championship with BYU. He won a national championship with BYU, but here is the ultimate sign that he is true 100% Ute: is he is growing a goatee.
the deepest thought from a BYU fan on a Utes win over USC is a goatee.
That's the thing that stuck out at me the most. I'm like, oh man, he's gone full Utah, and he's growing the goatee just like every other Ute fan out there. All right, here's my thoughts. I think that, I mean, we just talked about, you know, did they save Wilson for the easier part of the schedule? Man, USC, that quarterback stunk. I'm sorry. I mean, yeah, he got hurt at the end of the game. He actually did not look good at the end of the game. He didn't look well after they took him out. But, I mean, before he got hit and they took him out, he couldn't do anything. He couldn't move the ball. I mean, They brought in the backup quarterback, who was very mobile, started to move the ball. I think it would have been a little bit more competitive of a game had they had this other quarterback in there the whole time. But Utah's defense, like K-Ray said, I mean, they look pretty dominating. I mean, I'll be honest, like, I picked BYU to beat Utah at the beginning of the year. I'm going to stand by that pick just because – you know, it'd be blasphemous to go against that. But man, I am a little scared to play Utah after watching that game, I'll be honest. They look pretty dominating. I'm trying to find some weakness in the Utah game right now, and I can't. I mean, they look really good. I mean, to be honest, they look like a top 15 team. Yeah, they're really gelling. They're putting it all together. I do think the Pac-12 is kind of weak. I think the opponents that they've played haven't, it's not the marquee matchups that they have been accustomed. I mean, this USC team this year is not the USC teams of years past. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Arizona was kind of a cakewalk. Stanford, I think, was a legit win, but yeah, the Pac-12, I think, is kind of weak overall this year. But that doesn't take away from the fact that Utah looks really, really good right now, and we'll see. I mean, they still have Oregon right on the schedule. And a couple other teams. I don't think they'll have much trouble against UCLA, but they still have some legit teams up and coming. So it'll be put to the test, that's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, this is an unranked USC team. Clearly not the dominant, USC teams of past, but man, they did look good. They are firing on all cylinders. I mean, the Pac-12 South is the Utes to lose. They should win every game except for the Oregon matchup. Not sure they come out on top on that one, but
So who do
they
they
definitely.
have left? They have UCLA, they have Oregon, they have Colorado, they have Arizona State, right?
Yep. So
You
they
have
got UCLA, ASU, Oregon, Colorado, BYU. Those are their games in order.
yeah. So I mean, I don't know. Oregon didn't look great against Washington State, but then the week before they looked great. But I don't know. Oregon and Colorado, those should be decent matchups. And is in the Arizona State games in Salt Lake, right?
No, the Oregon game is Arizona's in Tempe.
Oh, okay. Well, that might be a decent matchup. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, if the Utes win out, oh, they'll be ranked in the top 15, I think, because that's they'll I mean, granted, if Oregon doesn't lose in the next couple of weeks before that game, because they'll beat Oregon. I mean, granted, Colorado has fallen out of the top 25, but they're still a good team. I think the Utes will rise in the ranking if obviously if they keep winning. Now, the question is, does this win prove the Utes belong in the Pac-12? K-Ray, come on, give us the breakdown here.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've already proven that we belong in the
Oh, yeah.
frankly, yeah. I of course we belong in the Pac-12. This win further solidifies it, as does the multiple. Well, we've beat USC multiple times now. We've beat Stanford multiple times. I mean, this is not like the first time we've beat a good team.
Okay, TC, what do you say? Does this win prove anything?
I mean, I don't know. The Pac-12 is kind of like the American Athletic Conference, but
No.
with a with but with but with less ranked teams and not as like great. I mean, UCF, USF, Houston. I think all three of those teams could pretty much dominate everybody in the Pac-12, except for maybe Washington. I don't know. Maybe they could beat Washington. They're ranked higher than Washington. So yeah, I'm just. I mean, sure. Yeah, they belong. It's kind of like a diet Power Five conference, I guess. I don't know.
Diet Power Five. That's a new one. Never heard that one before.
That's actually a funny saying, a diet power five conference. I'll give you credit for that.
Diet P5 sounds like some a new
I
nutritional
couldn't
drink, man. Some protein powder or something.
I clearly couldn't disagree with you more. Certainly it's not our strongest year.
Well, you guys have put a team in the playoffs, what, one year so far? I mean, that was Washington.
I think we've put I didn't we've put Washington in. I thought Oregon went too, but maybe not.
Yeah, Oregon and
Yeah.
Washington are the two Pac-12
Oh,
teams.
that's right. No. Yeah. That's
But
true.
clearly the weaker conference this year. Absolutely. I mean, there's not going to be a Pac-12 team in the playoffs this year. So yeah, definitely weak this year.
Well, we can get to that in a bit, but Washington State only has one loss still, so we can
Yeah.
talk about that in
Possible.
a bit. But yeah, they're the one team that probably still's got a shot if they were to win out.
All right. Now, before we get to updating our playoff predictions and stuff, what is this rumor, TC, that Wilson was in disguise with a mustache looking like Grimes at the Utah USC game, scouting out the Utes? Is there any substance to that rumor?
Well, I don't think he had a fake mustache on, but my understanding is he was at the game. He was wearing BYU gear, but it was like a black shirt. So I don't think he wanted to stand out that much, but I think his family is like hardcore Utah fans. And I could be totally wrong on this. I thought his dad had played for Utah. Is that right, K-Ray? Do you have any?
Yeah. He's a big Utah fan. He wanted to see the game. So
yeah. So I think.
Sure.
I don't know. I'm sure their family has like, you know, tickets to every game up there. If they're huge fans, they grew up fans, but, you know, it's like the one kid I think I said this last week, is the one kid we actually stole from Utah, but it may have been just because, you know, Utah didn't have any more quarterback spots left because they had already recruited the number that they were wanting. But heck, I'll say if he's at the game scouting, that is the kind of kid I want quarterbacking my team. If on the bye week he's going up there and scouting our rival, I mean, I'm sure, I don't know if he was there scouting, but he has to by default be taking away lessons learned, right? So I mean, that's who I want on my team if he's taking notes at the game and figuring out how to beat this defense. You know, more power to him, and he should get credit when we actually, you know, upset you guys come November.
Yeah, that is pretty. I mean, I will say that is definitely out of the ordinary for a quarterback to scout out the team himself. Now, I don't know if that means he's got no faith in his coaches to give him the film he needs. He's got to go get his own looks, or if that just means he really wants to.
I mean,
see the team, or if it means he's actually a closet Utes fan. I mean, what does that mean?
I think realistically, it was a family outing.
It was a bye week. I don't think there's anything to read into, honestly.
All right. Well, speaking of quarterbacks,
you know what he was doing up there. He was stealing all the Ute cheerleaders to go to BYU homecoming with them.
Oh, he's not a TC. He doesn't try to pull a TC. And he's
no, there's a story out there. He took two cheerleaders in high school to prom with him. So that's kind of an inside joke.
It's not like TC, where none of the girls at BYU would date him, so he had to go up to Utah to get girls.
Hey, the Ute girls, they can be good looking. I won't deny that.
All right, K-Ray, real quick, your freshman quarterback Jack Tuttle left Utah. What is there anything to that? What's any? I mean, is that going to affect the program in any way? I mean, he was third string, right?
Yeah, it stinks. It stinks, man. He was our future. I mean, there's some pretty unhappy people, including myself. Not with him. I mean, 18-year-old kid. You. At least I wish him all the luck in the world. I mean, he's got his whole life ahead of him. I'm not going to speak bad about him because he decided to make a different life decision. More power to him, I guess. But it does stink for future years. No doubt about that. I mean, he was the future. So it's too bad.
Enough. Well, here's what's crazy is my understanding is that's why Wilson did not go to Utah is because they had recruited Tuttle and he kind of got the indication like, you're going to be pretty low on the depth chart. And this guy's coming in the same year as you are. He's going to get priority. So now that could have some significant impact for both programs. You know, if Wilson turns out to be, again, we can't make too much out of one game, but if Wilson turns out to be this superstar that kind of raises the program up a little bit, and, you know, it's because, you know, of Tuttle was recruited to Utah, then he ends up leaving, that could be an interesting story to follow in years to come.
Yeah. Yep, no doubt about it. I can't deny that. That's no good.
So what does it mean? He left the program in the middle of the season. Does that mean he's like, yeah, I'm not going to practice anymore, I'm just done? Or is he, I mean, That is a weird move to leave like in the middle of a season.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. I mean, he's gone. I think he's going to transfer somewhere. I'm sure he's taking some time to figure out where. But
yeah, that is weird.
Yeah. He might go up to. Rumor has he might transfer to Utah State, the second best program in the state of Utah. I'm not sure though. That might be false. It might be just rumor mongering there.
Hey, did they get ranked? Did Utah State get ranked this week?
No, they're not ranked.
I don't think so.
Not ranked. Utah's 23, stands for 24. Appalachian State is 25. So
they're getting there. If the rankings went far enough, they'd be 27th.
Okay, so they're close.
Yeah, they're getting some respect.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Okay, so let's move to the national scene here. Ohio State had a big loss. Give us your updated playoff predictions. Who do you got in there, K-Ray?
I've got Alabama, Clemson. Those are the easy ones. I'm not convinced Notre Dame goes undefeated, frankly. They don't really have anybody too hard left on their schedule. They got Navy this weekend. But they have they play at Northwestern, and they play Florida State, and they play at USC. I'm not buying Notre Dame after the barely sneaking by Pitt and Ball State. So I'm going Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, and Oklahoma.
Mm. All right. Okay.
I think Oklahoma wins the Big Ten, the Big 12, sorry. The Big 12, even though they only have 10 schools, and I think they beat Texas in the championship game, and Michigan beats Ohio State as well, and I think that's my four.
Wow, okay, so you're leaving Notre Dame out on the porch, out in the cold.
Out.
Okay, all right, TC, who do you got?
Well, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Alabama, I think right now go through. I picked Georgia over Alabama. I think Georgia, if they won out, they would beat Alabama. But man, Alabama's on a different level right now. I can't see anybody beating them. So I guess I'd go with those three. I'm officially changing from Georgia to Alabama. And then I guess, looking at all the one loss teams, I think the best one-loss team out there right now is probably Oklahoma. Again, we're a little biased. We grew up in Oklahoma. But if Ohio State wins out, they'll give it to Ohio State, not Oklahoma. So I would still put
Ohio State. Oh, no, really?
I would. Yeah, I would still put Ohio State in over Oklahoma, but man, that would be tough. Imagine if you're the committee and you got to choose between a one-loss Oklahoma and a one-loss Ohio State. Who do you go with?
Oklahoma, that's an easy one. Oklahoma's blowing out their opponents. Ohio State had like two barely wins.
Well, that's a good point. If you look at each of their losses, the loss to Texas looks much better than the loss to Purdue, and Oklahoma will get a chance to beat Texas if both of them keep winning in the Big 12 championship. So yeah, okay, exactly. I can go with that. Yeah.
Plus, if Oklahoma wins out, that means they will have beaten West Virginia. That's a good win. So yeah, I think those are my top four. You got Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Oklahoma. I think that's who's in. So it's Michigan. All right,
so our only difference is one of us picks Michigan, I pick Michigan, you two pick Notre Dame, is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Pretty much, yeah. Okay, real quick, any thoughts on who should win the Heisman?
It's gonna be Tua from Alabama.
What's his injury status like? I mean, the people are saying that he should sit out a couple games. That's what some people are recommending.
Oh man, against LSU and the likes, I don't know. I mean, they don't have.
against LSU, but they got what, Citadel, and
I mean
the other games are what, Mississippi State, Auburn. He's not going to sit out Auburn, so I think it's his.
I think he's
definitely got claim to it for sure.
I mean, is anybody else, like, who's the next best contender? I can't even think of anybody.
I don't know. Isn't there someone from Clemson that's up for?
Not really. They switch quarterbacks midway through the season, so they're not going to have the statistics to back up a Heisman campaign.
Yeah, it's not going to be. I don't think it'll be Bryce Love from Stanford. He was the other guy.
No, I mean, the fact that none of us can even. I mean, the fact that
Wisconsin.
Yeah, he'll finish like third or fourth just because of the number of yards. But I mean, it's going to be Tua unless there's like an injury or a massive like cataclysmic downfall of Alabama, which isn't going to happen.
Yeah, I think it's Tua or Chase Hansen. Those are the top two contenders for the Heisman right now.
Spoken like a true Utes fan.
No, he'll get the Australian Heisman.
Well, the other guy is Will Greer from West Virginia. He's good.
Pretty good.
I don't think he'll beat out Tua. So, all right. Looking to next week, BYU plays Northern Illinois. Utah plays UCLA. TC, does BYU cover the, seven and a half point spread on that?
Boo. Well, I don't even want to talk about spread. I'm just more concerned, do we win or not? I mean, like I said, our linebacker core is pretty depleted. We still have Taki Taki back there, which is probably our best defensive player, him and Kafusi. Man, I don't know. This will be a tough game. Both defenses are kind of ranked in this like mid-70s. I will go back and kind of say the same thing I said against Hawaii. With Wilson, I think we win this game. If it were Tanner, I think we would probably lose. So I'm gonna say we win. I don't know about spread. I don't know if it's going to be by a touchdown or three touchdowns, but I do think Wilson brings just a whole new level of energy, which you know, both sides of the fields feed on. So I think we come out, home field advantage helps us, and we win. I am a little concerned about their quarterback. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I didn't think this guy was a dual threat quarterback. K-Ray, do you remember this guy running the ball? Because I looked at the statistics for their game. I mean, last week he ran 23 times for 170 yards, but yet I'm looking at the other statistics from the other games and he doesn't run it all that much. So I don't know what happened. I don't know if he had just like kind of two lucky breakaway long runs or what, but that kind of has me a little worried. I don't think we do very well against dual threat quarterbacks, but I don't remember this guy like running all over Utah. I don't know. K-Ray, do you remember this?
I don't remember him being a runner. I remember him being a pretty poor passer, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Not a good passer at all.
Okay.
Unless they switched quarterbacks or something.
I looked. It was the same quarterback, but it was kind of like a one-game anomaly. So I'm not sure what happened. But they have won like five out of their last six games or four out of the last five games or something like that. So they are on a roll. They have some momentum. They played some really tough teams early on, Utah, Iowa, Florida State. So they're definitely battle-tested. It's not like they're going to come into, you know, Lavelle Edwards Stadium and be intimidated. You know, they've kind of like shown their mettle thus far against the teams they've gone up against. So this is a game. I mean, there's a reason why Vegas has it within like a one-score game. It could go either way. But, again, I think Wilson is the difference maker.
Yeah. All right, K-Ray, do you see BYU winning this one?
I actually do. The Northern Illinois, I just was not impressed when they played us, and they played us tough. But in Provo at altitude, nice weather. It's supposed to be mid 60s, I think, and sunny. It's a day game, which I don't know. When you get a day game anything. It's 1:30 kickoff in Provo. It's a little early, I think, for a football game. In Provo anyway. I mean, that's kind
of what that means is it's going to be one of the most boring games. They put all the boring games in the afternoon for when it's a BYU game, McNeese State afternoon game.
Yeah, I don't love that kickoff time from both a viewing perspective, because there's just stuff going on in the middle of the day, with family commitments and so forth. And I don't love it from a crowd getting excited stand. But if there's any place that would get excited by a day game, it's Provo, because there's a lot of Zach Wilson fever, and I expect you to win this game actually pretty easily.
Yeah, I think BYU should handle them, especially just like TC said. I think Wilson is a difference maker. I think they should win this one. All right, now Utah goes up against UCLA, a struggling UCLA team, but Utah has always struggled against UCLA. I mean, historically, Utah chokes it against UCLA. So is this year going to be any different, K-Ray?
No, I think we're playing too well right now. Now UCLA, they've won a couple in a row, to be fair, but they beat Cal at Cal, they beat it by 30 points, then they squeaked by Arizona by 1 point in their last game. But I just think we're playing too well right now. It's a Friday night game, 7:30 in Los Angeles at the Rose Bowl. 10:30 Eastern out here where I'm at. I expect a win. I expect a good win that tests our ability to win on the road. Because obviously UCLA has athletes, and anything can happen when you've got the athletes. But Chip Kelly's just having a horrible first year, so I expect a W.
Okay, TC, do you think Utah beats the Bruins this upcoming week?
Yeah, I think they win, and here's why. Because they're going to convince themselves that they're actually playing in the Rose Bowl. So the last 2 weeks, I've said both games against Arizona and USC, we're going to be close. K-Ray called blowouts. I said, no way. And K-Ray was right both times. And I think I'm coming around to kind of seeing what K-Ray's saying. I mean, this team is playing at a pretty high level. So, Chip Kelly, I mean, you never know what he has up his sleeve. The guy's, you know, known to be a college football genius. Didn't fare so well in the NFL. But, you know, his coaching mind, you always think he's got a chance. I mean, there's just some coaches that you go up against and you kind of think, what does this guy have? You know, Price for, you know, Alabama, then he went to UTEP. He was one of those guys. Petrino, Louisville, you know, so he's one of those guys that you just never know what he can game plan for. Mike Leach is kind of the same way. But, you know, the coach isn't the one throwing the ball out in the field. And I think Utah is just too much. So I think they win. And honestly, I'm starting to come around. I don't even know if it's going to be that close. I think it's a 10-point favorite for Utah. I mean, this thing could be a 20-point game by halftime with the way Utah's been playing.
Could be a very high-ranked Utah team we're talking about next week. So should be fun to watch.
Don't jinx us. Don't do that.
Yeah, that's a good way. Yes, Utah, you are awesome. Go play.
They definitely have a jinx, that is for sure. I remember when was it, 2014 or something, they got ranked up to number 3, and then they choked against, who was it, Oregon State or something the next game. So, yeah, they definitely got a jinx going on. So, all right, so that about wraps it up. Anything else you guys want to add this week?
Yeah, go Cougs. Here we go.
Yep, go Utes. Hit it.
All right, we will have a special guest coming up in the upcoming week, so we'll excited to have him on, but we'll keep that under wraps until the time comes. But until next week, we are out. Peace.